Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Friday Scandal Val. And
is it Friday Scandal Day?
It's Scandal Day here on Dark Delight.
Beans.
You know what's amazing? If Joe Biden wins the election, he would be probably the first pre-impeached president.
Right? What is happening right now?
This one comes pre-impeached.
I wish we had one of those clips set up right now.
That's it. That's the last thing we need. We just need a video production crew that's ready to do these little tiny fun projects.
We have one.
Oh, okay.
I have one.
We have to start making phony infomercials.
Yeah.
Then again, that would probably count toward what the House Intelligence Committee would classify as an infodemic.
You know, I think they might have us up to testify before Congress at the HPSI if we did that. Like Adam Schiff would pull us in by our hair and say, or my hair, and say, you guys are spreading infodemic information all over the internet. You're conspiracy theorists. You're modifying existing video. It's manipulated media. What are you doing? And why shouldn't we denounce you right now?
Did you watch any of that? It was an hour and a half of the worst cringe you'll ever see in your life.
Of them trying to shut down the free flow of ideas across the country?
The hearing. This teleconference hearing with the House Intelligence Committee.
No, I didn't see it.
They had it was Adam Schiff and some other congresswoman. I don't know if there's another one in there, but they had a panel of and of course, everybody's in Zoom or something. A panel of quote unquote witnesses.
Witnesses to what? Was there a crime?
All talking about from different angles how misinformation, conspiracy theories, especially they'd spend a lot of time on QAnon because everybody does these days. Conspiracy theories are dangerous. They even broke it down to show how conspiracy theories and misinformation are especially harmful to women and minorities. Of course,
this is just, Tracy.
It's an hour and 36 minutes. Anywhere you click, it is the worst thing you've ever heard.
Here, let's listen to last night at the town hall. Let's listen to Savannah Guthrie go out of her mind trying to get President Trump to denounce Q.
Satanic. Let me ask you about QAnon. It is this theory that Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring and that you are the savior of that. Now, can you...
How many times is what Q... the definition of QAnon gonna morph before they settle on something.
I know. I wish. Obviously, he has to answer very carefully and diplomatically. Yeah. But I wish he would say, not just Democrats. the satanic pedophilia is everywhere. It's everywhere.
Here, aren't we?
Once and for all,
President Trump.
Can we put this to bed before we take it out of bed again?
That is completely not true.
Disavow QAnon.
We love the D word. Will you disavow?
Will you just
sound very, very serious?
Will you denounce and disavow? Denounce and disavow.
Will you denounce and disavow the things that you have denounced and disavowed in a more compelling way?
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you,
but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that. I know nothing about it. I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard, but I know nothing about it.
They believe it is a satanic cult run by the deep state.
As she says that, she's got the most satanic look.
Oh yeah,
in her eye.
There's something driving this woman, and she was always just a name to me, Savannah Guthrie. But now I'll never forget her face because to see this demon spirit, you want to talk about Satanism, to see this demon spirit just burn through her face with those two chiclet teeth in front.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just, what the hell is wrong with you? What is wrong with her? How can you be so driven? the thing that you're doing something useful on television. I wouldn't act like this in the shower.
I know.
This is the president of the United States. I probably acted worse in front of a camera, to be honest. Never mind.
Oh, Frank. You're going to be like Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Here, wait.
What I do know about, I know about Antifa, and I know about the radical left, and I know how violent they are and how vicious they are, and I know how they are burning down cities run by Democrats, not run
Republican
by Democrats.
Republican Senator Ben Sasse said, quote, QAnon is nuts, and real leaders call conspiracy theories.
She's laughing.
Why are you still on this? Why are you still on this?
What?
You
know what it reminded me of, though, Frank? Her frantic behavior. It reminded me of this. It was from the Chopping Broccoli Dana Carvey comedy special. You want to hear it?
Yep.
Here's I've never quite seen.
Wait, I mean,
like it. I've been Marsha Clark insane.
Marsha Clark, prosecutor in the O.J. Simpson trial. Here we go.
Yep.
This poor woman is just on the edge. Every day she's arguing. I just have never seen tactics quite like this. Never. In 25 years, I've never quite seen anything like it. I just. Never in my life. And over there is the brilliant, creating reasonable doubt, doing what every lawyer should do, Johnny Cochran. Very bright man. Got a mountain of forensic evidence. He acts like, why are we even having a trial? So smart. I think you ought to know. I miss Clark knows. I think the American people know. We're dealing with an innocent man. I think that's clear. A case closed. That being said, I'd like to play some jazz trumpet for you all. What's DNA anyway? Just three little letters. Probably stands for did not attack. Marsha Clark's over there. Should I cut my bangs? Should I cut my bangs? I'm gonna cut my bangs. I swear to God, I'll cut my bangs. I'll cut my bangs. Somebody move or I'll cut my bangs.
That's her. Bangs. That's Guthrie.
That's exactly what the media is like in their frantic nonsense.
That's at least the same spirit that was running through Savannah Guthrie last night.
It was the pictures of her floating around, the look in her eyes. It's like, God,
it's authentic. You know, and it's credible. It's credible to analyze a person that way. A still frame. You can. There's just so much that is captured, but it's true though, for her to spend so much time on that and to see the dishonest way that this Joe Biden, Hunter Biden stuff is being encapsulated is staggering.
They literally passed a resolution in Congress to like denounce QAnon. Meanwhile, we have actual people running around doing the things that.
You're talking about the burning and looting and the rape and the murder, a year of that in these big cities where these left wing Marxist groups are staking their claim.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, but inside of these mobs, how many pedophiles have been uncovered during the arrest process? You throw a stone, you hit three pedophiles.
Yeah, you hit at least three. We had the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein. We have Maxwell on trial. We have Cindy McCain coming out and saying that all
Nexium.
Of that. Yep. Nexium happened. Listen, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rings busted over the past several years. And again, what the left has successfully done is weaponized pedophilia of all things. The sick mother effers that they are. They have weaponized pedophilia as a political tool.
There cannot be any common ground on anything, not even pedophilia.
Disgusting.
If you show any kind of concern for the very, very, it's one of those things where, you know, you say if you find mouse droppings and you see a mouse, it's usually because there's 15 more.
Yep.
You know,
hiding in the corner. Yep.
When I learned that from a very young age. That by the time you see the first mouse, there's probably a bigger, much bigger problem going on.
Or possum, for goodness sakes.
Oh, Christ. And then you go and you're able to build up these patterns, and you see these arrests, and you see these busts, and the bigger scandals. If you're looking at the size and the scope of these bigger scandals, like the ones you just listed right there, you're telling me that on much smaller levels, there's just not an overall sense of degeneracy that is just flourishing somewhere. That there's not a marketplace for the nearly 1 million children that go missing in the United States every year.
And that they can't use code words like pizza to talk about trading them.
It's sick. And of course, you're not allowed to think. You can't. They don't allow you to think critically and to deduce anything from pieces of a puzzle that are laid out in front of you. Now, sometimes in our state of passion, we arrange the puzzle pieces awkwardly.
Yeah. Or make mistakes.
Okay. Well, we make mistakes, but the pieces are out there in front of them, and some of them are missing. But damn, you can tell if you're putting together a puzzle of a certain picture or not. It's just sometimes you put the nose in the wrong place.
Yep. Yeah, and they want to stop that. They want to stop the American people from being able to decide what information they consume, where it comes from, when they can read it, what they can do with it. It's absolutely disgusting and terrifying what's happening right now. Oops. I started playing the next clip by accident.
Can you imagine? Yeah, it's Savannah Guthrie. If that's what we all like, surrendered all of our thinking and all of our everything we know about the outside world, we surrender it to the storytelling of people like Savannah Guthrie, these driven, crazy people.
She's unhinged. Like, she was unhinged last night, and you know, not for nothing. The normal people I talk to, Frank, their first complaint wasn't the same as ours. You want to know what their first complaint was? Literally what? Three of them. That's the president of the United States she's talking to that way.
Well, I mean, listen, their first stated goal was to delegitimize this man and to delegitimize, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, delegitimize the office as well. If you don't like the man, the office can be disrespected. And the one of the greatest things that are always done in subverting and destroying a nation is to actually destroy any kind of traditional sense of hierarchical authority, even in healthy ways. We should all be skeptical and distrustful of authority, but if we have nothing to hold ourselves to, why do you think everybody just keeps calling him Trump?
Yeah, and Trump did this. Trump, I know.
The president. Nobody will say no. Or the occupant in the White House. How many people have said that?
Yeah.
The occupant in the White House. So it doesn't surprise me at all. That was the first thing that they set out to do, to delegitimize the man, the office, and completely take away any kind of reason for there to be a responsible, respectful exchange with the guy. Because if you already established him as a usurper, then there's no reason to have a calm, cool, collected exchange. Right. Because usually in calm, cool, collected exchanges, people learn something about somebody that they maybe not had learned before. They might be able to soften their position. They might be able to become a little bit less afraid of a person. So that has been taken away from Americans from the get-go.
And, you know, with this Hunter Biden thing that's been going on, and the difference in the fact that George Stephanopoulos, Snuffleupagus, never asked about it yesterday. Not even one question. This is the thing. He's literally selling our country out, like straight up in his own words. Giuliani was actually on Fox this morning, Frank. I couldn't believe that I saw him up there because he hasn't been on Fox since impeachment, right?
Yeah.
Here, listen to this.
It's authentic as hell. Some of those pictures on it can only have come from him. And I'll tell you why I know it for sure. I have about 10 pieces of confidential information nobody knows, except me and Hunter Biden. Kept it that way. You know, I investigated cases for 50 years. Every one of those hits the mark.
Everyone.
In other words, I have an anonymous source. I'll give you an example. I have an anonymous source that reports on a meeting at the State Department, which would violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And Hunter Biden was taken in the back door and kept off the books. The gentleman who was involved in it and who told me about it had the date. I've had that for a year and a half. That very date shows up in his emails. There are 5 emails setting up that appointment, that date, that exact time. I've got 5 of those if anybody cares to examine. They're not even disputing it. This is Hunter Biden's emails, texts, and really, the photographs will shock the hell out of you.
So, Rudy, for people at home...
photographs are disgusting, and they make him a national security risk for the United States of America.
Rudy.
Because every photograph I have, China has, plus a lot more. They reveal federal crimes, they reveal disgusting sexual behavior, and then they reveal sexual behavior, and then numerous times where he has totally gone on crack, which means he spent most of the last 5 years on crack. And who would pay this man $2?
Rudy, let me ask.
Stop cutting him off.
He wouldn't let them. That's why he's not on Fox anymore, because they still have an agenda. I'm sorry. People need to wisen up to this. They have an agenda and they're forced to put some of this stuff on. I'm pretty shocked that they're even putting on the Hunter Biden stuff, to be honest. But I hate here still, Frank, how Ted Cruz is even out in his social media. You know, I'm so angry about all this. He's still giving them. He's still so we don't know if it's true or not, but it's true. It's clearly true.
You know, I've said before, there's so little time to go out and listen to every show that I enjoy listening to. But for certain topics, I know who to go for. And I made sure that I listened to a little bit of Bongino on this. I made sure I definitely listened to Levin.
Yep.
And Levin put it very, very clearly in the greatest of ways. You think about all of the non-starter stories that have been turned into multi-year scandals. And you think about something like this that is dismissed out of hand when you have it's his laptop. It is not ill-gotten. I mean, the whole story about this computer repair shop, he left it there.
And
there's a contract.
Did you see the interview that was released yesterday?
What?
There was a SoundCloud interview of the shop owner that had this laptop. It was about an hour long.
And what happened?
Oh, I was waiting for you to say if you heard it or not. No, he went into detail. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, but he went into detail about a lot of it. What happened when it was brought in, you know, what was on it, why he did what he did. He said basically that I turned this over because I thought that if I was the only one who had this information, they'd kill me.
Well, you know, it's not only that there too, because that's interesting to hear that was said. I should go listen to that. But from what I've been reading and what Levin was talking about last night there too, is aside from the fact that here's a story where if you are a serious journalist and you're looking to be on the cutting edge of news and reporting on big events and not actually just sitting there waiting for something big to happen so that you can divert people's eyes away from it, you know that this is a story packed full of leads. There are names, there's dates, there's times, there's money, it's everything right there. There's pictures. It's definitely his laptop. It's not ill-gotten. You have the shop owner who has a contract that he signs, I guess, with all the people that walk on in. He left it there for over 90 days. And then he has the wherewithal to understand this is huge. And not only is it huge, it's very consequential in a year that impeachment started getting pushed on everybody. Impeachment over claims that were clearly refuted by all the things that he had in his possession. And as you and I talked about, the first day that we had broached this subject on this show, once again, what are we looking at here? We're looking at an FBI that had clear exculpatory evidence in their possession during an impeachment sham in the middle of December 2019 and did nothing. This is very literally the Anthony Weiner laptop story from soup to nuts. Completely carbon copied.
Yep.
4 years apart.
Yep. And
at the very same time of the year, everything.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And I said before, I said the Mac repair shop owner is the Seth Rich of 2020.
Yeah. Only this time. He's alive. He was able to stick this one out a little bit more. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that tie.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Except there's no WikiLeaks around because WikiLeaks was politicized and disbanded for the most part. Craziness. So everybody's now, obviously, there's so many facets to this story. People are now focusing on the FBI. When did they, you know, what did they do with this laptop? Who were the agents that investigated it? Why didn't it become exculpatory evidence in this entire impeachment scandal. And lastly, and most loudly, freaking fire Christopher Wray. Get rid of this man. Get rid of him. Adam Housley.
I don't know. I know. Why is he still there?
I mean, I get why they can't get rid of him now. You know, we've got like however many weeks left. They have to have someone, you know, it's just a big pain in the ass. I think one of the first things that he should do.
If he's reelected within 48 hours. I mean, that's what he did after the midterms with Jeff Sessions. It was within 48 hours. Sessions was gone.
Yep. Yep. Quickly and so, rapidly with someone waiting in the wings like a Rick Grenell or someone like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Either him or who else?
It could be any. Sidney Powell.
So can you imagine Sidney Powell or Rick Grenell?
The FBI.
Please. Oh, God, please.
I would jump up and down like nobody's business. It would, the next 4 years are going to be insane. He has nothing to worry about. And I
know he shouldn't. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know what?
You're right. You're right. He doesn't. I just can't wait until it's over.
I've been thinking about this a lot over the past couple of days, why it is they may be holding all this stuff till after the election. And I've come to some conclusions that really make a lot of sense that are not going to make some people happy, obviously. But I think when they're explained, maybe it'll take the edge off a little bit. So let's say you're a random Joe Schmo. You were watching the Guthrie Town Hall last night and something just wasn't right about it. And you're like, between COVID and this, there's just, I don't know, something not right. And look at all this Hunter Biden information. And then all of a sudden, Brennan, Comey, and Clapper are indicted.
Mm-hmm.
What is your first thought?
I mean, it's not a good look.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it. At this point, Tracy, I think we were talking about it, I don't know, an episode or two ago. At what point in a year like this where you have to just accept, well, nothing's going to happen. Even if they did do something, even if there was an indictment or two over here, unless you have people that came forward and copped guilty pleas and all that. So people that came forward and like admitted guilt of something, mm-hmm. like Kleinsmith, that's something different. That they're compelled to actually say, I did something wrong. That's different. But to actually go out there and make a move on people as a perceived aggressor is, I mean, if it wasn't done by
May,
it's like, okay, well, they're going to have to wait until afterwards.
So speaking of people coming forward, there's something else brewing here, guys, that we need to pay attention to. Remember, we were talking to Patrick about Patrick Byrne.
Yeah, the Overstock guy.
You know, he came out with a final deep capture entry that explains everything.
What do you mean? I was thinking about him recently.
You know, he said he talked to the men in black and all the things he did and blah, blah, blah. And he couldn't give us any details and this and that and this and that. He wrote an entry on his blog with all of the details. It's insane.
What does he talk about?
He says, listen to this. This is pretty great. This is amazing. He says back when he did all the Wall Street work in 2006 or whatever year it was, that Arlen Specter, who was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, gave him a letter that basically said, this man is going to help take down the deep state. He's paraphrasing. And, you know, please, it basically a non-prosecution letter to cover him from prosecution from like any crime ever again. And then like locked that letter up. And supposedly two reporters have seen this letter and confirmed its existence because they went to the place where it was kept. And he doesn't lie, Patrick Byrne. He really doesn't lie. He's pretty open about things. And I've triple checked a lot of what he said in the past and it pans out. So he has credibility, in my opinion. He really does. He's a little bit out there in terms of his, you know, the way he conducts himself. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Most smart people are. So in a nutshell, he has this letter or whatever. They approach him. The men in black, which would be the FBI agents, he names some of them now. Struck Comey, Brennan involved, the CIA op. The first thing they want him to do, Frank, is to bribe Hillary Clinton. Because, as explained to him, the Obama administration wanted to be able to have something on Clinton to make sure she stayed in line. So he was told she's going to win. There's nothing you're going to do about it. This is before Trump was nominated. There's nothing you're going to do about it. We need you to go to the person who leads this country or whoever it is, get them in a room with Hillary and get this bribe done. I'm very much paraphrasing. It's all laid out in detail in his blog, which I'll put in the show notes. He gets that done. He gets it done. It's successful.
Mm.
Then, hold on, I'm going to scroll through. I'm going to miss something here because I read it once and I need to read it a couple times. The next thing that happens is basically they need some kind of a Russian to be in this plot. And they, you know, he had brought Maria Butina to their attention several times. So they finally pay attention to Maria Butina when they need a Russian to be running around doing all this stuff so that they can have an actual Russian with Republicans. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So there's a lot more in here. I'm really not doing it justice at all, but I want to read like the last paragraph I get, I guess, and go through it.
I'm interested. I'm interested in learning all about this because it's funny. A couple of people had asked, had emailed me within the last few weeks alone, said, "Hey, whatever happened to Patrick Byrne?" And that jogged my memory about the whole thing, where he was a little erratic, in his behavior, but he was. It made me nostalgic for like 2017.
Yeah, when he first.
Damn.
I know, and so. Like he's there's supposedly I'm hearing from different places. That's all I'll say, that there's supposed to be a spate of whistleblowers involved in all this that are done being quiet and are about to come forward within the next week or so. People who have had intimate knowledge of this and are just at almost like a flood. I you know, to be quite honest with you, I don't think that any of this has anything to do with Trump. I don't think it's being engineered by him. Here is what Patrick Byrne said somewhere at the end of his very long 50,000 or so word deep capture blog entry. They might remember that somewhere in a safe in Washington, D.C., there's a magic letter from 2006, which has been located and has had its existence confirmed to two journalists. It says that I'm going to take on the systemic corruption subverting the federal institutions of the U.S. government or something like that. And requests of the future that I be shown extraordinary latitude under the laws of the United States when I do it, which, if I'm not mistaken, describes where I found myself in 2015 to 2016, realizing that I/we had been tricked into being used in a soft coup by the chain of command beyond the MIBs. What I did about it then, parentheses, engineered a rape murder sting on my chain of command once I saw a way to do it that would not hurt my three MIBs. And what I am doing now by going public. Then this is it here, the clincher. This is the end of the deep capture project. If this does not do the trick, nothing will. From 2006 forward, from my conflagration with Wall Street to the bribing of Hillary and the creation of a rape murder sting on Brennan and Comey. Oh, yes, that's in there, too. This 14-year, $40 million project involved essays and actions that were undertaken to support a mission with which, as far as I was concerned, had been charged by the American people via their agents in the Senate that they had elected in 2006 via its agent, the Senate Judiciary Committee, which holds final authority to investigate corruption in the USA, via its chairman, Arlen Specter. My assignment was to take on corruption across the institutions of the federal government that had been subverted by a network of goons within management levels of regulators such as the SEC, law enforcement, intelligence, in the end, even the inspectors general and courts and special counsels and all the mechanisms that are supposed to locate and curtail corruption that have themselves been compromised and has surely been demonstrated.
Wow.
It's something else to read. He basically, he wanted to see if they would, can you know, stop using him if he said he was going to rape and even was willing to kill Maria Butina. So he did that. The agents that were with him in the room wanted to beat the living daylights out of him. They went back, and the next time that they came and talked to him, it should have been, you're done if you're a source. You know what I'm saying? Or if you're doing work for the government, it should have been, you're done. Get out of here. You're lucky we're not hauling your ass off to jail. Go away. It didn't happen. They kept him going.
I got to read this.
You do. You do.
I really can you link it to me?
Yeah, sure. 'Cause
that's what I'll do after I read my morning papers.
Oh yes, yes. That's with your coffee on the back porch and the crinkling sounds of the papers.
Yes, yes. I have my first delivery of the New York, the extended weekend delivery of the New York Post showed up today.
I saw the picture. What does it say on the cover?
Back on.
What does it say on the cover?
Oh, I don't know. It's upstairs. It's about what's his name lying about being hacked.
Oh, Scully.
Yeah.
Now that is something else, right?
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, they're the only. I used to have a subscription to the New York Post, maybe about 10 years ago or so, and I couldn't handle. I wasn't reading them anymore because it was too much. But the weekend delivery, it's going to be fun, and they really are making an effort. They're making an effort. So
clearly, they're doing good journalism.
It's great. Yeah, I know. They're being denigrated by the rest of the journalists. So you know that something's going on that's worthy of people's time.
There, the whole Scully thing is like Bubba Smalley with a noose in the garage. I mean, how did he think that he was going to get away with that? How do you think he was going to get away with it?
I don't know. Maybe I think it's the hubris of just thinking, okay, well, I have a lot of good friends. I have a lot of powerful friends. I know what the media is looking for. I know what the media will bend over backwards to protect and to push and to defend. But I think that people really do believe that in the end, they're smarter than they are, and that they think that they have all of their bases covered, and that they have a really, really awesome production. A really great thing, a production that they can put on, and that their acting chops are like Academy Award winning. Mm. And they're just subpar people and subpar
they're
minds.
People.
Yeah, they're just and the minds are just so subpar. They're not thinkers. They really aren't.
Frank, just the news just published something. Former Mexico Defense Secretary arrested in U.S. on drug trafficking charges. Retired General Salvador Cienfuegos was arrested Thursday at Los Angeles International Airport. Former Mexican Defense Secretary.
What do you think?
He was arrested when he arrived at the Los Angeles Airport with his family. Wow.
So what the hell? So what do we have going on here now?
I mean, whatever it is, the current Mexican president is okay with it. Ooh, let's listen to some Drudge headlines, shall we?
Oh, God, let's do it. Because it must be better than the that must be better than the trending section on Twitter. You know that Archie Bunker is trending right now on Twitter. You know why?
Why?
They're comparing Donald Trump to Archie Bunker, which is great. I mean, I love Archie Bunker. Whatever. So that's I don't know. They said Archie Bunker and Mr. Rogers. They said, we've had 4 years of Archie Bunker. I would like to have some Mr. Rogers talking about Joe Biden as if Mr. Rogers was an international influence peddler that took money from enemy states. Frank, I'd rather have that.
Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Chris Christie.
What did he say?
Number one. He was not around to do debate prep with the president, was he, yesterday?
I don't know.
No, he's been in the ICU.
Right. That's right.
Nobody knew until now.
He has the COVID.
He had COVID. Chris Christie says he was in ICU for 7 days battling COVID-19, urges Americans to wear masks.
No.
I believed when I entered the White House I was safe due to testing. Don't take this disease lightly. I was wrong not to do this stuff. I was so wrong. I was wrong not to wear a mask.
He recovered. He took remdesivir and the monoclonal antibody cocktail. He was in the ICU. Christie says he appeared to distance himself from Trump, who said he felt better than he had felt in decades after he was treated with a different antibody cocktail for the virus. Quote, nobody should be happy to get the virus and no one should be cavalier about being infected or infecting others. It's something to take very seriously. The ramifications are wildly random and potentially deadly. Says this, as a former public official, I believe we have not treated Americans as adults who understand truth, sacrifice, and responsibility. Not treating us as adults? What? No, you haven't. You forced us to put face coverings over our face and stay home from work, you stupid.
I mean, Yeah, seriously. I mean, people understand. People take it seriously who should take it seriously. That's the whole thing here. You load people up with good information and you let them be adults, because that's what you do in a free country. And if you are over the age of 65 and you have, you know, anywhere from a couple of pre-existing serious conditions, chronic conditions, then you know that maybe when you go out in public, it wouldn't hurt to wear some kind of a mask, maybe for the time that you're inside of a crowded place. Although even that, if you're listening to the information that's there and not the talking heads on the television, you're reading things from the CDC now that's saying that 85% of people who always wear masks or somewhat wore masks are account for 85% of the infections here. Only 3% without masks. If you've been listening since March, you heard Fauci say, don't wear it. You've been listening to, I mean, I don't know.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We've gone over this on the morning show that I've been doing all week, every day. The craziest thing is that he said he had no symptoms and he was going into the hospital as a precaution, which means he was lying to everybody. And not only that, he has asthma. And he's overweight. So he's got two. He's overweight and he has asthma. So here is, and my point is, he wasn't around to help Trump prep. And the fact that he wasn't around to help Trump prep, I think, helped Trump prep. Keep Chris Christie away from President Trump and debate prep.
Please.
Keep him away. He doesn't need any of you people. Prep. What does he need a prep for? What does he need a prep for other than having facts and data in front of him? Here's some headlines, Frank. You want to pull up and read them with me?
Okay, let me see here. Sources. Okay. All right. The Drudge Report.
You start.
Where are we starting?
A top left.
Top left. Trump-Biden square off in dueling town halls. No, they didn't square off. They didn't square off. Trump had a debate with a rabid woman, and Joe Biden, of course, was in an opium den like he usually is. Review: Guthrie keeps president on tight leash. That's what you call it? That was a tight leash. Roasted him like few others have. Roasted. She sounded like a petulant harridan.
What was the roasting part? And was that her job, Frank, to roast?
That's what they want. Yeah.
Was that her job to roast him, or was it to host a town hall where Americans can ask their president questions to gauge his responses so they know whether or not to vote with him again?
The left is the party of American gladiators. That's what they are. They're not looking for substance. They're looking for somebody to fire tennis balls at you. That's just what the hell it is. Donald defends promoting conspiracy that Navy SEALs didn't kill Bin Laden. Praises QAnon. Supporters disappointed COVID-19 didn't humble him. Humble him?
What supporters are disappointed?
Supporters are actually thrilled that he didn't die.
Yeah, I mean, some of us are.
You know, that's really what's going on here. We're thrilled that in 3 days he's out of the hospital. And he's got all of his energy back. That's actually a pretty inspiring thing there. I mean, what would be humbling if he was tied up in a hospital bed on a respirator for 2 months? He comes on out and it's a slow recovery and he can't get back on the game. What are you talking about humbling? He should be more inspired than anything.
The article itself is even worse. It's another article blaming President Trump for the deaths of Republicans early in the virus.
When Jose Antonio Reyes DuPont died in early September after a 3-week battle with COVID-19, his son wanted to send the $10,000 funeral bill to President Trump. Reyes, 84, was a lifelong Republican and diehard Trump supporter who believed the president when he said early in the pandemic that the nation had the virus totally under control and that it was no worse than the flu.
10 months later, it's no worse than the flu.
We're almost a year into this. Reyes had hoped that Trump's bout with the coronavirus would be a humbling experience. Instead, the president remains as cavalier as ever about the disease.
You know, I say it's no. He said it was no worse than the flu. Well, you know, it's not even that is so short sighted and manipulative, because the real thing is that perspective is always the case that we're arguing over here. The flu is deadly. Tens of thousands of people die from the flu every year. The flu is deadly.
Yep.
To even say it's no worse than the flu, it may just be genetically different from the flu. That doesn't mean that, hey, go on out there and lick every handrail in Walmart that there is to lick.
Well, or go and lick ice cream containers and you know, all the things they were doing before, you know?
It's just, you know, come on. Especially if you're in these danger groups. Oh, God.
So stupid.
But, you know, now honesty is not something you're going to find anywhere. It's not going to stop.
You want to know what's crazy?
What?
So South Carolina here, we are in high spread in my county right now, which means more than 200 cases per 100,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And we're supposed to have all virtual school because of that. But the school district decided not to do that. They're going to keep it hybrid, which I think is absolutely fantastic, because they're already only learning 2 of the 5 days of the week. So why make it worse? Anyway, long story short, we had this weird spike in COVID all of a sudden here, and it doesn't make any sense. The only thing that makes sense is that people are going to the doctor because the flu season is starting. They're getting their COVID tests. The doctors are reporting potential COVID cases. They're going into the totals, and then somehow they're going to have to figure out how to backtrack that when the ILI, you know, the flu and the influenza tests come back positive, right? Well, I'm at the weekly map of influenza, and it says North and South Carolina have literally zero flu activity in the state. Zero. Not one case of the flu. Louisiana.
I wonder what everybody getting these shots right now, how that's going to affect future testing of COVID.
I don't know. The flu shot?
Yeah. You're pumping all this genetic material into your body to create an immune response of some type, or at least you hope so, but it's just going to be there. And we already know what the magnification of these PCR tests,
that could be true too. I didn't even think about that as a possible cause.
Well, hey, what was it? I think it was Dr. Judy Mikovits was talking about 38% of people who got the flu shot got COVID or something like that.
Yeah, I believe you're right about that. Yes.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things that got quickly swept away and called conspiracy and unverified, and her character was attacked and all that stuff. So, I mean, my father-in-law came by yesterday to see the baby, and he came by earlier on, and he said he was on his way to the doctor to get his flu shot at 10:30. And I started thinking to myself, I was like, well, that's time of year. Now you're going to have millions of people going to CVS and their doctor's offices, and, you know, schools will administer it in some cases if you have a permission slip. Flu shots all around. I wonder how that's going to affect all these PCR tests when everybody gets swabbed every time that they have a cough in the middle of December.
Well, if this is any indication, we're in some trouble then, because 124.2 million doses of the flu vaccine have been distributed this year so far.
Wait, distributed as in they've already been administered? They've already been injected?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. It says distributed.
Okay, so they just might have been shipped out to doctors' offices and pharmacies then.
Yes.
But either way, there's going to be way more than a million people that take this shot. They do it every year.
They've been cramming it down. This is 124 million, Frank.
Oh, 124 million.
Yeah. Can you imagine if all of a sudden, like, let's say all 124 million doses are used, and like half of those people have a sniffle and go to the doctor.
Imagine that.
60 million positive COVID tests will come out.
Yeah, by New Year's Eve, there's going to be 60 million people infected with COVID. Watch. You watch.
I know.
I just keep your eyes open for it. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first is right. Absolutely. Oh, goodness me. Oh, my. I had another. You're funny, Frank.
Oh, go on.
No, I mean it. I have, did I have anything else? No, I didn't have any more clips. I thought I did. But let's see here. Wait, wait. Hold on. Avalanche of early ballots transforming election. Dems crushing fundraising.
Yeah, okay.
Sleepy Joe goes a half hour longer than President Trump.
Oh, God. Is this what you really have? This is just, I honestly, it's crazy to me, even though I'm totally dispassionate about the whole thing. But it's crazy to me that Drudge Report is definitely, if I were a liberal, I would go to the Drudge Report every day to feel better about myself. Every day.
It's the only place that you can go. There's a couple more interesting stuff on Drudge, though, by the way. Looks like there's some leaked calls from Senator Sass. Apparently, he said that Trump kisses dictators' butts. He mocked evangelicals. He says he's flirted with white supremacists and spends like a drunken sailor. At the same time as that's going on, we have President Xi violently coughing throughout his speech. State media cutting away from him.
Ah.
Forced to stop speaking. I wonder if this is just payback.
Who knows?
I think I have it here. Let me see if we can pull this and listen to it. What do you say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this could be karmic payback or other payback.
She violently coughs.
Violently coughing.
QAnon growing in churches.
What? What is it? That's a weed?
No, it's edition.cnn.com. I'm still on Drudge. I'm just looking at all this.
It's something to behold. I'm serious. If you ever want to go through and get an idea of what the crazies are thinking, go to Drudge Report. I'm sending myself this article now so we can play it. And then it's almost, we basically ran through an hour already. It really doesn't feel like it today.
No, it doesn't. This was a really flowy one.
Yeah, it was flowy.
Flewies.
Here we go. Watch here. Watch full video. 46 seconds. If it ever plays. Come on, man. Catch what you did there.
Here's a little bit more forecasting for you.
Go ahead.
Before you press play, deaths will rise by 80% by February, researchers foresee.
Oh, geez. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to end? Ever?
No, not as long as they're fighting for any kind of power. No.
Gosh. Yeah.
吸取发展动力, 也让中国发展更好的汇集世界。
Uh-oh.
Violent. Ooh, there's a hush amongst the crowd. Hold on.
Well, is he drinking?
I don't know. They won't show him on camera. That's it.
That was a violent call.
Here, so let's see if there's another one.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. That's it. That was it. Violently coughs.
My God. This is the... Oh, my God.
Is there some
this
new...
This is a headline.
I know.
That's a headline. You can take anything that's on uncoverdc.com right now and throw it up in the place of that violently coughing link,
thank you.
Would be better suited.
Well, thank you.
Anything.
There's a new rule, apparently. Well, first of all, they doxed that woman who was nodding behind President Trump last night.
I heard about this.
It's just absolutely
like,
sick.
Why is she nodding? This is supposed to be undecided. Meanwhile, the last time they had an undecided town hall, everybody there hated Donald Trump.
So stupid.
Visually hated Donald Trump. They could not ask their questions without the hatred coming out of their eyes because, of course, you couldn't see the rest of their face behind the masks. It's like there's a woman nodding in the background. Who is she? My God.
I know.
My
if you're not
God.
Finding who this woman is, you're not doing your job.
If she was shaking her head in disapproval, they would have all been very pleased, though.
Yep. I really hope, I really, really hope that this gets better. They do something about it.
All I care about is right now is him winning the election and maintaining at least the Senate. And I really do believe people when they have told me in confidence that they have friends in places that have really good insight into the numbers that the president is working with, that says that he's ahead in more than 40 states.
That makes perfect sense to me. It really does, because judging by what we're looking at. Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes sense when you look at the mail-in voting propaganda out there, because the people who are really, really going to get hurt the most, I keep saying it, the people who are going to get hurt the most are Democrat voters who have taken this thing hook, line, and sinker from the beginning. They are putting their own vote in danger of being lost, destroyed, disqualified for any number of reasons. And the only reason why you would push this for as long as you did is if you know that you are falling so far behind that you just need something to complain about afterwards. And disenfranchisement and all that other stuff of your own people, that is going to help bolster your claim that, once again, Donald Trump's second round in the Oval Office is even more illegitimate than the first.
If that's even, I mean, how could they go any more illegitimate than they've already gone?
Exactly. Well, listen, they can't do Russia again, so they're going to have to do domestic election interference by tarnishing the sanctity of voting. And of course, that they have already given us an entire summer's worth of Donald Trump's war with the USPS that nobody's even talking about anymore.
Yeah, that's gone, right?
That's been gone for over a month and a half.
Yep.
So, I mean, all the alibis are ready to go. And the only reason why they're committing to this course of action, it has to be because they really don't have anything else to lose. The reward must outweigh the risk of disenfranchising so many of your own constituents. And the reward has to be just the alibi that everything is illegitimate and you have something to challenge in court or something.
They're actually even saying about Russia, Russia gave all this stuff to Giuliani. Yeah, it was Russia that influenced the Mac repair shop man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank, this is
it was Russia that put the crack pipe in Hunter Biden's mouth, too. It was a Russian drug dealer. It was actually a Russian that got Hunter Biden to snort cocaine off of a hooker's ass. like he's the Wolf of Wall Street, this guy. It's what the
ridiculous. I have a letter that was sent to us by a listener who was responding to our conversation about Southwest and the mask.
Okay.
It's a little, I think it is very well written. It is heartfelt. And I think this perspective needs to be shared with people. So are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. I wanted to write to you regarding the Southwest Airlines incident. I know you want to know the full story in both sides. My husband is a pilot for Southwest Airlines and the best patriot I know. He flew fighter jets in the military and did 4 tours. He retired after 20 years to start a second career as an airline pilot, as many military pilots do. Airline pilot jobs are extremely hard to get. You have no idea the pressure and stress our family endured. He finally landed his dream job, only to have it all blow up by April 2020. There are thousands of flights every single day, and yet only a few of these videos exist. Why? Because it's extremely rare. However, because of our obsession with cancel culture, people are quick to post these videos. I know Chris Ann feels righteous in this action to post an injustice, but really, it is a participation in cancel culture. Who gets blamed for the incident? All the other 50,000 employees of SWA that had zero to do with this. Remember back in the day when you would get the names of the crew and contact the company to file a complaint? We don't do that anymore. We just post a video and try to eviscerate many people for the actions of a few. The airline industry has been crippled and really decimated because of COVID. They're struggling to survive and everyone there is just trying to keep their jobs. This great American company is going to be brought down by idiot flight attendants and this outrage culture. My husband has already taken a 40% pay cut and come January 1st will likely lose his job. People don't understand how many people airlines employ, from HQ to customer service to scheduling to ramp agents, ticketing, etc. Nor do people realize how many industries rely on the airlines. hotels, cruise liners, amusement parks, national parks, etc. What happens to places like Vegas and Orlando if there are no airlines? That's why it's puzzling to me when I see the outcry over bailouts. It's not a bailout because they mismanaged funds and were greedy. Flights are down 95% from last year. We're talking millions of jobs. Chris Ann said she flies 3 times a week. When the airlines fail, her business too will fail because it will no longer be possible to fly often. Tickets will cost thousands of dollars. She relies on the airlines for her work while simultaneously participating in their demise. And even by the end of their video, her husband got off and her other colleague wanted to get off, but she stayed on. I guess SWA isn't that bad after all. She was able to get to her destination and get her pound of flesh too. I hope this doesn't anger you. I just wanted you to know and maybe give you some perspective from someone on the other side. I think what happened was 100% lame, and so does my husband, but our livelihood is on the line, so we don't have the luxury of being outraged like everyone else. This video is everywhere now on InfoWars, PragerU, and now even your show. God help us. Take care. And I won't read who it's from.
Yeah, all right.
I just thought that was an important perspective to share, and it kind of struck me. I didn't think about it like that at all. Not that I'm, you know, everybody's going to react to that however they want to. I'm not even going to make any comment. I just thought it was important to share.
And now it's on the record.
It's on the record. But we're done for the day. You have been listening to the Dr. Like Podcast with
Friday Scandal Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We're back on Monday.
Later.
Later.
I ruined it. Say it again.
Later.
There we go.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.